Hey guys, if you have your Bible, I invite you to open up with me to Matthew chapter 21. And we're going to jump into the Word here in a minute, but I needed to go back and cross-reference a few things from a text message. And so when we're celebrating the Lynn girls, Cammie's turning 13 and Kiri's turning 9. So happy birthday to you guys, Kevin and Chrissy. Thanks for loving and supporting the ministry of the church. And hope you guys have a great year. Happy birthday. Well, hey, today is Palm Sunday, and you know, Palm Sunday is interesting because it's one of the Sundays in the life of the church where we reenact things. I've seen multiple videos on social media from individuals and churches and other ministries of people waving palm branches, and it's one of these days where we reenact a specific part of a larger story in the Scripture. And it'd be pretty cool to be together today and to see our kids waving the palm branches and shouting Hosanna. And so, parents, I would say to you, this might be an opportunity for you to even take your kids out into the yard and find the palm branches and talk about what this story means and why this is a significant story for us in the life of the church. And we're going to get into that in just a minute. But if you have your Bible with me or with you, I invite you to open up to Matthew chapter 21, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 11 this morning. The Scripture says, "As they approached Jerusalem," and the "they" is Jesus and his disciples, and a group, a crowd that is following him. "But as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away.' This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, 'Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.' The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, 'Who is this?' The crowds answered, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.'" I want us to start this morning by just asking you this question. What do you do, Centerpoint, when everything around you is hot lava? What do you do when everything around you is hot lava? Let's pray together. God, I thank you so much for this day. God, I thank you for this word. I pray that over the next few minutes as we get into this word, God, that we will have hearts of good soil, ready to receive your word and for it to grow in our lives and to bear fruit. So God, we just want to be open right now to what your Spirit has to say to us through this story. And God, if there are new ways that you're seeking to shape and change us, God, have the freedom to do that this morning. And so I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be holy and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, you know, today would have been Family Worship Sunday for us. And so at Centerpoint, we celebrate Family Worship Sunday, the first Sunday of each month. And I love it when we're able to celebrate scholarship funds that come in on Family Worship Sunday, knowing that our kids are here with us. And you know, when I was growing up, I grew up in a really small church, but every Sunday was Family Worship Sunday for us. I didn't grow up with children's church or anything like that. And so I was either there by mom and dad or I was there by my grandma. And you know, what's interesting about Family Worship Sunday is, you know, as a pastor and a preacher, I get to see what's going on out in the life of the congregation. I get to see and know the parents that are struggling there to sit through because Pastor Dwayne is preaching way too long. And I get to see those that are having to try to entertain. And I get to see those who need to get up and walk out. And all that's okay as we're creating a family-friendly environment to be able to be together and to worship together. And it got me thinking this week just about distractions in worship, basically. And you know, I was reminded of a couple of stories. And I remember one of the very first sermons that I ever preached in my entire life. I was on a mission trip in Tazamunchale, Mexico. And we're in the mountains, we're in the middle of the jungle, and we're in this little Nazarene church. And I was preaching there, and I remember preaching, and our congregation was there, our student mission trip group was there. And sure enough, I'm up there preaching, and just right through the back door, which there was not a door, it was just an opening, but right through the back door, a dog comes walking down the aisle, and this dude just walks up on stage and literally just plants himself right there beside me. I'd never experienced anything like it before. Now, as you can imagine, those who were there that had experienced that before, it was not fazing them. But for our group from my college, you know, that we hadn't seen that before, and it created quite the distraction. And there I was trying to preach with this dog sitting there beside me. And I remember one time, I won't tell you what church this was at, but I remember one time in the middle of a worship set, this huge cockroach just running across the front of the stage. And one of the pastors tried to run and grab it. And as he grabbed the cockroach kind of jumped. And the next thing you know, the cockroach is running all over him, and he's trying to shake it off, because nobody wants a cockroach running, you know, all over them. Not in the middle of worship, but not anytime. We don't want that to be a distraction for us in life. We had a situation just a few weeks ago, literally like 3 weeks ago here at Center Point, where a guy in the church tried to bring up his scripture on his phone, and he hit the wrong button on his phone. And the next thing you know, there's live audio just blasting of this scripture being read. And so I looked at him and I said, hey, you know, get that under control. And then we offered to get some teens to come and try to help him to get that under control. And he thought he had it, and then it came back on. And the next thing I know is I look over, and he's throwing his cell phone just up in the air just as a way of saying, you know, I give up. I don't know what to do in this situation. And so there's times as a preacher where you just have to ask the question, do I keep preaching this, or do we just pause right here and I just pray and say amen and we just get on with our day? I really don't want to know the times and the ways that maybe when I was a kid that I was a distraction to our pastor. And I remember, kids, plug your ears at this point. Like, you don't need to hear this. This is just for moms and dads. But I remember more than a few times being taken out of the sanctuary in order to be talked to about how to act and how to respond in worship and how to sit still and how to be quiet and all this kind of stuff. And it shaped me. It molded me. I'm thankful for my parents who held me accountable along the way. But it reminded me, as I was thinking about my own journey, it reminded me of a story this week where one of my colleagues shared years ago. I've carried this story with me for years. But he was sharing a story about preaching one time. And in the midst of the sermon, there was this kid who was acting up, this kid who was starting to become a little bit of a rascal, you know, down front. And the mom was trying to get him under control, trying to rein him in and all that kind of stuff. And parents, you know, sometimes you feel like everybody's looking at me. It's amazing how we as parents turn into middle schoolers when our kids are acting up, and we're convinced that the whole world is looking at us in this moment. And there are times where we just want to hide, you know. And so on this particular time, this mom just wanted to hide. And so here she grabbed her son and toddler and starts marching out of the worship center with him. And as the story goes, she's carrying out of the worship center, and the kid just starts yelling, "Help me, help me. Somebody help me." And you can imagine what would just happen in the life of that congregation as they're watching this kid being carried out. And now he's just calling out, "Somebody help me, somebody help me." Because we know what happens when we get to the bathroom and we have to get talked to, or we get disciplined along the way. And this kid on this day was just calling out for help. Somebody help me. You know, Center Point, when we get into the story of Palm Sunday, we have a beautiful story and beautiful encounters from the scripture that ultimately lead to the idea of the people of God calling out to God with that simple plea, help me, help me. You know, as the story goes, Jesus had already been out helping people. He had been healing people. He had been teaching. He had been showing the world what love looked like. And as he was journeying down this road with his disciples, he was showing them what the kingdom of God looked like. And so as we walk through Matthew's gospel, we find Jesus healing and teaching and coming alongside those that are sick and suffering and embracing those that are lonely and forgotten. And so something happens, though, in Matthew 21, when it's that point in the story for Jesus to enter into Jerusalem as king. Palm Sunday is the celebration of Jesus coming in to take the place as king of the world. And so as the story goes, he and his disciples are making their way, and he sends two of his disciples ahead to make some preparations to get a donkey. And so he tells them this idea, if you go, you'll find the donkey and the colt, and you'll say to the owner that the Lord needs this. And so those guys obey Jesus and they go. They have a conversation with somebody who's not a part of the framework right now, but they say to this guy, the Lord needs what you have. The Lord needs your resource. And this guy in turn obeys. And so Jesus makes a request of his disciples and they obey. The disciples go, and in the midst of their process of ministry, this guy obeys simply based on the idea that the Lord needs the donkey. Send the donkey. And so sure enough, this guy releases his resource for use by God, and they take the donkey, and so they put Jesus on the donkey so that Jesus might be escorted into the city in this way. And so there's this brief passage where Matthew is remembering the words of Zechariah chapter 9, where he says, say to the daughter Zion, say to Zion, your king comes gentle, riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. See, your king is coming and your king is gentle. So significant for us. You know, traditional understandings of this passage would differentiate between the idea of Jesus coming in on a horse, on a white stallion as a conquering king, versus Jesus coming in gentle and meek on a donkey. Jesus was making a statement about what kind of kingdom he was going to have. So sure enough, the disciples went off. They got the donkey. Jesus makes his way into the city, riding on the donkey, not the traditional horse that the king would have come into the city on by way of procession. But something happens in this moment that there are crowds that are there. So as Jesus is coming into the city, they start waving palm branches. And so the idea that we would reenact that story by waving palm branches and shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They have stories here in Matthew's gospel of people taking off their outer garments and their cloaks and laying them on the ground so as to make a clean path for Jesus as he comes into the city. And so they create this kind of processional where they're welcoming Jesus in as king. They're singing and they're shouting and they're waving their palm branches, but along the way, they're saying this word that we shout this time of year. The word is Hosanna. It's not a word we hear in society that much. You're probably not going to learn, kids. You're not going to learn about Hosanna in school, but we sing about it. We shout it. We sing it specifically on this day in the life of the church. And there's something that's just so interesting about this word is there's confusion about what this word means. You know, the Hebrew word Hosanna was actually a female name. And it literally means Lord save. Save now. Please save. And so it's so interesting for me when we get into this passage, we read a familiar story of obedience. Go and find the donkey. The Lord needs it. Okay, I'll give my resource to the Lord. The next thing you know, there's this parade going on, this procession that's going on to welcome Jesus into the city. And then all at once, the people start to sing and shout, Hosanna, Lord save. Lord save now. Lord please save. Save us. Center point, if there's one thing I want you to take away from Palm Sunday, it's this truth, that when we sing and we shout Hosanna, when we wave palm branches and we sing and we shout Hosanna, we're not so much celebrating the idea that a new king is coming. We're celebrating the idea that a king is coming who has the power to save. Who has the power to save us, who has the power to meet us at our point of need, at our point of hopelessness, at our point of despair, at our point of pain and suffering. And so when we shout Hosanna, it's not just a fun activity to do with kids so we have a video for it. It's the idea of instilling in our children and instilling into our own lives this idea that when we call out to Jesus, we can come before Jesus in a way that is humble and contrite, and in a way that's truly seeking Him to save. Save us. Save now. Please save. Center point, I can't imagine that a month ago any of us had a clue that we would be sitting here where we are today in the circumstances of our community and the larger world around us. But friends, the word of the Lord never returns void. And the word today is this word of the people of God historically calling out to God, save us. Center point, that's our call today. To find ourselves in a posture of celebration, but to find ourselves also in a posture of reliance upon the Lord, calling out to Him, Lord, you know our need. You know what's going on in the world around us. You know the pain and despair, the sickness and the suffering that we're experiencing. And we call out to you today because we are dependent upon you. We're relying upon you. Lord, save. Save now. I had an experience this week where I was in our dining room, and we live in an apartment, and so we don't really have a dining room. We have one big room that funnels as a living room, a kitchen, and a dining room. But I was sitting at our dining room table, and I was working on the computer, and I heard from the other room shouts of Hosanna being made. And so I went in to see what it was all about. And at the time, Darcy Abuel, who's our preschool director here at Center Point, she was doing some video stuff with kids from the Early Learning Center, for them to be able to send their videos of shouting Hosanna and celebrating and waving their palm branches. And she had done this by way of her own video chapel that she was facilitating for our families through the preschool. By the way, Darcy, thanks for doing that. You're a rock star. Keep it up. And so I went in to see what it was all about. And at the time, you know, my wife was she was trying to get footage of our youngest daughter, Mia, singing and shouting Hosanna. And so as Darcy would get a video, she would then respond by saying, "Hey, it was great to see you, and it's good to hear your voice, and keep it up," you know. And she was encouraging them along the way. And so I went in because the shouts of Hosanna were taking place, and this conversation was on my mind. And I went in just to see what was up, and Marley was trying to send some videos, and she was waiting on responses. And along the way, Mia just started getting distracted, and it was in our bedroom, and so Mia was on the bed, and she had her stuffed animals there because she did chapel with her stuffed animals, you know. And Mia just starts playing, and she's a little distracted, and she wants me to play with her. And so the next thing I know is Mia is sliding off our bed, and she looks up at me, and she says, "Daddy, help me. The floor is hot lava." And so sure enough, I grabbed her by the arms, and I pulled her up onto the bed, and I hugged her, and she was safe and secure. And it took about 10 seconds, but sure enough, she had unraveled, and there she was sliding off the bed again. And she had the same exact request: "Daddy, save me. The floor is hot lava." And I could just see the imagination of the child just running wild and wanting, desiring that level of play and imagination. And I thought, man, you know, what's going on in the heart and life of a five-year-old to believe that the floor is hot lava, everything around me is hot lava, and in this moment I can do this one thing. I can call out to my dad. When the world around me, when the floor around me, when everything around me is hot lava, I can call out to my dad because he's close enough to catch me, he's close enough to hold me, he's close enough to embrace me. Friends, when we come into Palm Sunday, and we ask the question, what do you do when everything around you is hot lava? What do you do when you feel the grip loosening and you can't hold on anymore, friends, you call out to your Father. That was the cry on Palm Sunday. I got to see it in just a beautiful expression of my daughter this past week. Daddy, save me. Daddy, help me. Everything is hot lava. I asked you on the front end, center point, what do? When everything around you has the potential of hurting you, of bringing destruction, and we feel our grip loosening, we feel that we're beginning to slide off, friends, we have one posture, and that's to call out to our Heavenly Father, Lord, save us. Save us now. Lord, please save us. And friends, that's not the cry of just our hearts. That's our cry for the world around us right now in the midst of all that we're going through as a people. Lord, save. Save us now. Center point, when we think about Palm Sunday, it's all about Jesus entering into our situations. It's about Jesus entering into our lives as King. And not as a King who's far off, but as a King who's close by, close enough to hear us call out and cry out for Him. And so, center point, that's what we're going to do. We're going to call out to the Lord. We're going to trust in Him that we can cry out and that He's close enough to respond. And that He is at work even now, healing sickness and disease. That He's at work even now, forgiving sin and calling us into new life. And we're going to see on Friday how our sin is nailed to the cross. And we're called to live free from it. And that ultimately one day, next Sunday, we'll celebrate the gift of His resurrection. And we'll begin to explore what the gift of His new life means for each and every one of us. So I just want to say real quick, if you're watching this today and you know Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, friends, embrace Him. Call out to Him. Jesus, save. Save now. Jesus, please save. In the midst of our situation, in the midst of our circumstances, please save. But if you're here today, you're watching this online and you've never had a true encounter with Jesus Christ, today would be a great day to maybe for the first time in your life, get on your knees before God or raise your arms before God and say, oh, Jesus, I want You to be my King. Jesus, save. Jesus, save now. Save me. And friends, we believe that our King is close enough to hear us and to respond to us at our point of need. And friends, if along the way you would commit your life to Christ today as a way of entering into a new relationship, I want to hear from you. You can reach me here at the church office. Friends, reach out with a comment on Facebook, a comment on YouTube, and email a phone call so that we can begin journeying alongside you and your walk with Christ, because I want the whole world to know that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us, who's close enough to hear us, who is at work and we can cry out to at whatever our point of need, our darkness and despair. Lord, save us. Save now. Lord, please save us. You know, I can't think of a better posture right now for the people of God than to enter into a season of prayer. We've seen this kind of trickle out from the church office over the last week. But as a pastor, I was waiting to kind of hear what was going to happen with our regulations and our social distancing. And so I knew last week when we got word that the CDC was going to be extending their guidelines, that center point, we have to go into a season of prayer together. And so maybe you've seen this information out there already, or maybe you're hearing it now for the first time. But tomorrow, Monday, April 6th, center point, we're going to enter into a 28-day journey of prayer, focused prayers of intercession and crying out to God about the situation that's going on in the world around us and about our own hearts and lives and the response that the Lord would have for us. And so I want to talk to you just a minute about logistics, about what this looks like. You know, I believe there's unity and a unifying power in prayer. And as a church, even though we can't be together, we can't physically be in one another's presence, we can be together in spirit as we unify around prayer and intercession for other people. And so here's what's going to happen is starting tomorrow morning, we will have videos that go live on our Facebook page and also our YouTube channel. And you're going to be hearing from staff members and other lay leaders in the life of the church. And basically what we want to do is we want to be able to come to you by way of video every morning open us up with a word of scripture, share just a few brief thoughts about the power of prayer and how prayer is at work in our own lives, and ultimately lead us into the prayer for that specific day. So right now, you can go to our website, centerpointcommunity.org, and if you click on the 28-day prayer banner, it will bring up the entire 28-day journey. Now, while I'm encouraging you now to begin praying through that list, for our purposes as walking together, we're going to be honing in on each day so we can specifically be interceding and lifting up needs that are represented in the lives of people right now. And Centerpoint, my hope for us is that as we unify around prayer, that the Holy Spirit will move and act on our behalf and act on behalf of the people around the world to bring healing, to bring comfort, to bring companionship along the way. And I don't even want to try to imagine right now what the Lord would seek to do through us as a body, not just a body of Centerpoint, but a body of believers. If you're watching today and you're not a part of Centerpoint, please join us on this 28-day journey as we rally the people of God to pray in unity together around the hope for the world. And so I hope you'll join us, Centerpoint, tomorrow morning. Be on the lookout for that on our Facebook page and our YouTube channel. And I just want to encourage you to get on your knees and be seeking the Lord. The goal of this time is not to take the place of your prayer life. It's not to take the place of your devotional life. The hope for this prayer time is that this is supplemental to all that you're already doing by way of seeking God and calling out to Him, and that we'll see incredible movements of God as we unify, as we intercede, and as we call out to Him to save us, to save now. So I hope you will join us. You know, Centerpoint, I'm convinced that moving forward as a church, prayer has got to be foundational to everything that we do and how we respond to the world around us. And so as we think about this movement of prayer, as we think about the days ahead, may we become a people that are not dependent by word only, but are truly dependent on our King to come into our situations and to respond to us faithfully in response of our prayers. And so my hope for us over the next 28 days is that as we seek the face of the Lord, as we humble ourselves, as we pray, and as we turn from our wicked ways, that the Lord will hear from heaven. He'll turn toward us. He will forgive our sins and He will heal our land. I hope you'll join us. Centerpoint, I love you. I want you to know that you have a great Heavenly Father that's on this journey with you, and you can call out to Him today or anywhere along the journey in the midst of your circumstances, and He moves and He acts on our behalf with hope and healing and new life. I love you. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for this day, and we thank you for all the blessings you've given us, God. God, not the least of which is the opportunity to go together, to journey together, to walk this road together. So, Lord, I just pray your Holy Spirit right now to be at work in our midst in a way that we could have never asked or imagined, God, prior to these circumstances. God, I pray for the people of Centerpoint and for anyone else that's joined us online, that your Spirit will be at work in their homes and in their lives in fresh new ways, God, allowing us to reset life, God, allowing us to focus more in on you and to focus more in on our relationships with one another, and to, God, be keenly aware of what's going on in the world around us. God, I pray right now that as we unify on this journey of prayer, God, that truly you will strengthen the Centerpoint body, that you will create within us, Lord, a unified front to meet needs in our community and to respond to whatever calls that you would place on us in the days ahead. And so, God, as we go down this list over the next 28 days, God, may we be specific in our intercession, and may you be specific at your points of healing and meeting the needs of people, God. Now, we come before you on this Palm Sunday to confess our dependence upon you and to say to you once again, God, we need you to save. Daddy, help us. God, help us when it seems like everything around us is hot lava, when it seems like everything around us has the power to hurt and to kill and to steal and destroy. God, we trust in you. And God, I pray right now for the person who's watching and they can feel, God, the grips of their own hands starting to let go and they're starting to slide off. God, would you strengthen them right now? God, give them peace right now. Give them hope right now. God, I pray that brothers and sisters in Christ who are standing firm today, God, would be strong pillars and strong towers for those that are struggling, for those that are weak, for those that are lonely, for those that are trying to endure. God, may our relationships with one another truly be those of mutual love and coming alongside, God, so that no one goes alone, no one journeys this thing alone. God, create within our own church body, God, a sense and a reality of togetherness as we go on this journey. So God, go before us. God, hear our prayers. Save us. Save now. Lord, please save. Bring healing to the lives of people that are suffering from COVID-19 and other illness. Bring healing into the lives of those that have lost loved ones. Bring healing to every fallout and circumstance that is growing out of this larger situation in our world. And God, we pray no less right now than that you would eradicate this disease, this illness, this virus. God, that you would eradicate sickness and illness that's claiming the lives of people. And God, that truly as we seek your face, you would bring healing on this land. And God, we pray that whatever movement of the Holy Spirit that you want to accomplish in our midst, that it'll start in our own individual hearts. And God, that as believers, we will rise up to faithfully follow you each step of the way. So King Jesus, keep leading us. Keep guiding us. We trust in you. And we anticipate, Lord, an empty tomb and a stone rolled away for new life that only you can give us. We love you today and pray these things in Jesus' strong name. Amen.